yes, you can turn back the clock. It's the Growing Younger Radio Show with Dr. Vernon F. Williams, board certified and fellowship trained with the American Academy of Anti-Aging, Regenerative and Functional Medicine, and founder of San Antonio's Wellness and Aesthetics Medical Center. It's time to turn back the clock with Dr. Williams. The truth shall set you free.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Williams. Today, we're going to be talking about neuroplasticity and performance. I think those are very, very important things in growing younger and in general in life. So today, I'm going to be doing my radio show on both topics. You see, because, you know, I was listening to Holton Berg's talk, and he was talking about rhythm. And when he started talking about rhythm, it just made a lot of sense to me. Because, you know, Holton Berg, he is the chief visionary officer at Organo. And he intimated that without rhythm, you are lost and ineffective. Now, neuroplasticity gives your life cohesion and the ability to change or adapt so you can find the rhythm in your life. You see, rhythm is very, very important. If you are in a boat and you're paddling, if you don't have rhythm, you're going to find that you're working against yourself, and after paddling furiously, you'll find that you've gone nowhere. So in life, in general, you need to make sure that things work in sync. You know, Holton talked about Tiger Woods. You know, in sports, we say that the athlete slows the game down. That means that if you are a hitter and the pitcher is throwing the ball at 100 miles an hour, as a hitter, when you slow the game down, that ball looks like it's a basketball coming out of the pitcher's hand. And it looks like it's traveling at 20 miles an hour instead of 100 miles an hour. And so when you swing, it's very easy for you to make contact with the ball. That's because you are in rhythm and you're in sync. When you're not in sync, that baseball looks like an aspirin coming at you at 200 miles an hour. And when it does, you swing, you're going to miss the ball. So the mark of a great athlete is someone who can slow the game down and make everything effortlessly into one motion. And if you can't do that, then there's a problem. Now, in your brain, we have something called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity, what it is it's the brain's ability to recognize, to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. So neuroplasticity allows the neurons, the nerve cells in your brain, to compensate for injury and disease and adjust so that you can function at a better level. And so when we're talking about growing younger, when we talk about life in general, we want to make sure that we are in sync. And when we're in sync, things work better. You cannot accomplish anything if you're not in sync or you don't have rhythm. So let's talk about your brain. All right? You know, you have two things, your mind and your brain. I want you to think about this. Your mind is your body's CEO. Your mind tells your brain what to do. Your brain is your manager. And whatever the mind tells the brain has to figure out a way to get it done. All right? So the mind is your ideas part. It thinks things up, and the brain gets things done. So for someone, the more you think, the more thoughts you have, the more you do in life. If you have more thoughts, you accomplish more. So when you have a task in front of you, if you don't think about the way to get it done, it doesn't get done. So let's talk about that old saying. You reach for the sky and you fall, you hit the clouds. You reach for the treetops and you fall, you hit the ground. Well, that's the way your mind and your brain function. See, let's say that you have two people that get cancer. One person says, I'm going to die. And the other one says, you know, I'm going to survive this cancer. Well, your brain, your office manager, listens to what your mind tells it, the CEO, and it's your brain's job to figure out how to do what the CEO wants. So when you say to your, when the CEO, your mind says to your brain, we're going to die from this cancer, where your brain says, you know something? It's over. We're going to die. So let's just shut down. Let's send everyone home. Let's just not even try. And you die. When you say when your mind says, you know, we're going to survive this cancer, your brain says, oh, we're going to survive it? Oh, shoot, darn it. How are we going to survive it? So your brain then starts doing research. That's what your brain starts doing. And the brain looks at all the cases where the brain can find where people survive cancer. And your brain says, all right, first thing we got to do is we got to slow the growth of the cancer cells. All right. So the brain says, how do we do that? Well, I've read some studies where it says that cancer cells love sugar. So you know what? We're going to eliminate sugar from our diet. That's what the brain says. And so when you see sweets in front of you, the brain says, no, no, no sugar. You can't have that sugar. You can't have that cookie. You can't have that. That is sugar. You can't have it. And so you don't eat it. Then the brain says, you know what? You know, it's not enough to slow the growth of the cancer cells. We got to find a way to kill the cancer cells. And so the brain thinks, and he's done some reading, and he looks up and he Googles stuff, and the brain says, oh, shoot, there's a study that showed that, you know, that vitamin C kills cancer cells. So the brain says, all right, we got to get some vitamin C. All right. And so the brain says, all right, let's go find a doctor who can give you vitamin C. Oh, but he can only give you a pill of vitamin C. Brain says, we need more than that. So let's do some research. Let's go ahead and find a doctor and give IV vitamin C, because the brain has read that this doctor can give you 100,000 units of vitamin C in the vein. Well, I guess if 2,000 works on cancer cells, maybe 100,000 might do even better. Yeah. So we'll do that. So the brain sets it up and you get your IV vitamin C. Then the brain says, you know what? I heard there's some other things that can kill cancer cells. And, you know, I heard of something called hydrogen peroxide, ozone. We could probably detox. We can do all these things to help kill cancer cells. And the brain arranges those things, and they get done. And then the brain says, you know what? You know, immune cells kill cancer cells. You know what? And we don't have enough immune cells, because the immune cells now are our troops. So the brain says, all right, we got to find a way to make more immune cells. Because if we make more immune cells, we'll have more troops. And if we have more troops, we can go out and fight the cancer cells a lot quicker. So the brain says, all right, how do we do that? Well, we need to make more immune cells. Well, we need some more proteins. We need some more lipids. We need some more minerals. We need some more vitamins. If we can get all of that raw materials, we can direct our body to use those raw materials to make immune cells. And you know, while we're making those immune cells, we're gonna make sure that we don't have those raw materials go to non-essential things in our body. So we can take all those raw materials and make immune cells so we can go ahead and kill the cancer cells. See, that's how our brain works. Our mind sets the policy and our brain decides how to do it. See, that's what you call neuroplasticity. That's how you call rhythm, working together in sync. You know, I talk to all you guys about growing younger like me, being 29 again and again. Well, you can't accomplish this without rhythm, without cohesion, without your brain and your mind working together. See, you got to get your mind, your CEO, setting the policy. See, what I do is my CEO, my mind, tells my brain that I am 29. That's what my mind tells my brain. And it's my brain's job to make sure that I am. That's my brain's job. And for me, anytime I have a problem, my mind figures something out and tells my brain that it needs to solve the problem. See, my mind is my body's CEO, and he sets the policy. So my mind says to brain, I have too much visceral fat. I want you to fix the problem. Get rid of my visceral fat. And my brain now has to figure out a way to do it because my brain sucks up to the CEO because my brain wants to be promoted to CEO sometime. See, that's what happens. Your brain wants to get the kudos for doing the things that your mind sets up. You know, you're driving along, you're driving home, all right? You get in the car, and your mind is all over the place. You think about this, you think about that, and da-da-da-da-da. And then you turn around, you're in your driveway. What happened? Well, your mind, your CEO, said to your brain, let's go home. And while your CEO was off doing other things, your brain was figuring out how to get you home. It took you, you made a left down the street and went down that highway, and then you got off, and next thing you know, you're home. That's because your brain did it based on the instructions of your mind. Well, getting back to being 29 again and again. Well, when I tell my brain that I am going to be 29 again and again, what does that tell my brain to do? My brain has to figure out a way to keep me 29. My brain says, you know, I've done some research. My brain says, I remember how I was when I was 29. You know, when I was 29, I had a lot more muscles. That's what my brain says. We had a lot more muscles then, didn't we? So if he wants to be 29, we got to figure a way to get me more muscles. Good. So my brain figures out that I need to get more muscles, so it gives me more muscles. Then the brain says, you know, I remember when I was 29, I didn't have that much fat, but now I have a lot of fat. So my brain says, you know what? When I was 21, we had less fat, we had more muscle, so now I got to figure out how to get rid of some of this fat from me so we can be 29. So the brain does that. Next, the brain says, you know, when I was 29, my hormones was a lot better, my testosterone was better, my sex drive was better, I had a lot of energy, I mean, I was really doing well. So my brain says, well, we got to figure out how to get that. And so the brain has to now make me into the way I used to be. Now my brain says, you know, when I was 29, I remember we used to bungee jumping, we used to do kayaking, we used to jump out of planes, we used to do all of these crazy skiing, we do all that stuff. Hey, we got to figure out a way to do it. We got to get you back to that point. You see, when you give your brain instructions, your brain has to figure out how to get it done, and that's what it does. So if you tell your brain that you're 29 again and again, your brain's going to say, alrighty then, we're going to get you to be 29 by doing all the things to make your body 29 again. You know, I have an old saying. If you lived with 90-year-olds, after a while, you're going to start doing what 90-year-olds do. If you live with 20-year-olds, after a while, you're going to start doing what 20-year-olds do. So that means that if the 20-year-olds are out playing tennis, guess what you're doing? You're playing tennis. If your 20-year-olds are out partying, dancing, guess what you're doing? You're partying and dancing because you're doing what 20-year-olds do. Well, your body is the same thing. If you optimize your hormones and you bring them back to the way they were when you were 20s, your brain then takes that to mean that it needs to make everything in your body the way it used to be. So when your mind and your brain are in sync or in rhythm, your body performs better and you function better. So before you can be 29 again and again, you have to make sure that your mind is telling your brain those very important details so that your mind and your brain can be in sync. Now, people always ask me how old I am. I will never tell you how old I am because I don't want my brain to get the wrong message, because if I start confusing my brain, then we will no longer be in sync, and the brain won't know what to do. So I always tell my brain I'm 29. I tell my brain to do whatever I need done before I start doing it. And if someone needs to know how old I am, I'll give them a date. I say what year I was born. That's it. But I will never say anything but 2/9/29. Sorry. That's just the way it is. Now, being congruent and in rhythm, it's not just about your health. It's about everything in life that you do. If you are in sync, you get things done. If you're not in sync, you're spinning your wheels, and you'll find that you put a lot of effort into it, and you got nowhere. Right? So it's very, very important that you start off by getting your mind and your brain in sync by telling your brain what to do. Your mind is your most powerful weapon. It directs your body. It directs your body. Now, there are a few pitfalls, though. You see, in your body, besides your mind and your brain, you have some information that your brain gets. You see, your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your taste, your touch, your smell. Those are your senses. And when those senses pick something up, they send that information to your brain via neurotransmitters. So if the neurotransmitters are off, then the information that your brain receives from the neurotransmitters is off. For instance, if I taste something that is bitter and my neurotransmitter tells my brain it's sweet, then my brain responds to something sweet. If I touched a table that's hot and my neurotransmitters in my hand tells my brain that it is cold, then my brain will respond as if it's cold. So when your neurotransmitters are off, they give your brain information which is false. And when your brain gets faulty information, then the brain cannot process things properly. So when your neurotransmitters are off, you get things like anxiety, depression, agoraphobia, or fear of heights, or fear of being in crowds. You get different psychological problems because your neurotransmitters are off. So we need to make sure that your neurotransmitters are telling our brain the truth about what's going on. I mean, for instance, let's say my mind says to my brain, let's go home, and I'm driving home, and my eyes tells my brain that this is the right highway and I'm on the wrong highway. Guess what? I won't end up home because the neurotransmitter to my brain, the information my brain received was not accurate, and my manager got the false, wrong information from its staff, and therefore the manager did the wrong thing, and now the manager, your brain, has to tell the CEO, I'm so sorry, mind, I screwed up. Right? So you want to make sure that your neurotransmitters are optimal and what it is. Next, once your brain gets that information, your brain needs to direct some instructions. So once the employees give your brain the information about what's going on, that's your neurotransmitters, your brain next function would be to then direct some action. So the brain gets information from your neurotransmitters, and then the brain directs your hormones to respond. I.e., if I put my hand on a hot stove, my brain will tell my hormones, my testosterone in particular, to move my hands. And my testosterone is my muscles and tells my muscles to twitch or move, and I move my hand. Or let's say I'm looking at a woman and she's wearing a blue dress, and my neurotransmitter tells my brain that it's red. Then my brain will then tell my hormones that affect my eyes or what I say to that person may be off because of the information I got. So the brain gets information from your neurotransmitters, and once the brain gets information, it uses your hormones to direct a response. A response may be increased testosterone so that you can get a little more excited about what you see. Maybe it could be improve other hormones in your body that helps lubrication. Whatever it is, your brain will then direct your hormones to do something to respond to that information. All right. So that's what I love about this thing, is that congruency and rhythm is very, very important to life. And before you can start doing anything, you have to be in rhythm. If you're not in rhythm, nothing works. Right? So neuroplasticity, you hear a lot about that, but I just told you the most important part of all of this. Number one is to have an active mind. Think of all the possibilities, because without an active mind, you cannot tell your brain to do nothing if your mind has not imagined it. When Roger Ailes, the first guy to run the 4-minute mile, when he ran it, before that, no one had ever run it. The moment he ran it, suddenly all these other people started running a 4-minute mile, because before that, everyone's mind did not envision the possibility. Christopher Columbus, he said the earth was round. Before that, everyone thought that if they sailed west, they would fall off the cliff, so no one tried. Once Christopher did that, suddenly everyone was able to do it. So your mind, you got to have real possibilities and imagine things that are unimaginable. And when you do, you open your mind up and you imagine more things, then you tell your brain to do something. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you walked into my office, and you walk into the office, and in my office, instead of a desk, there's two beds. What do you think your brain thinks? Wait a second. There's something wrong here. I've been in thousands of offices, and they've always had a desk and chairs in front of them. What's going on here? Why does this have two beds in the office? Something wrong with this picture. That's what your brain says. But you know what? Your mind says to the brain, yes, indeed, it is an office, and this office does have two beds in it. So your brain says, oh, I see. I didn't know. This is the first time I've ever experienced that. So your brain puts it away. 5 years later, you walk into an office, and there's two beds in it. Your brain says, oh, I've seen that before. It's an office. I've seen an office with two beds before. Not a big deal. I've done it. See, now your brain is familiar with it. See, your mind has to be open to possibilities. If your mind is open to possibilities, then your brain has experience with all these possibilities. And now when your brain, your office manager, can use it as resources to get to the next level. So when your kid's mind is all over the place and they come up with all these fantastic ideas, do not discourage them, because what they think is possible is what is possible. If they don't think it's possible, it's not possible. So if I don't think that I can survive this cancer, guess what? I can't survive it. If I think it's possible that I could survive it, then I will. But the bottom line is, your mind is your CEO, tells your brain what needs to be done. Your brain is your office manager. Your brain's job is to get all the resources together, get all the data together, and formulate a plan to accomplish the task that your mind has set in front of it. Your brain cannot get that task done if your brain is inexperienced and doesn't have the information that's needed. All right? So you need to make sure that your brain has lots of resources to get to those information. And what I provide for my patients is resources so that their brain can have it. See, for me, medicine is like the iPhone. If your doctor tells you that he's been doing it for the last 20 years and he's not going to change because it's been successful, you need to find a new doctor. Because medicine is moving ahead at breakneck speed. Just like you wouldn't get an iPhone that came out in 2008 because there's been so many updates and so many additions, so many improvements to it. You want to make sure that your doctor is staying on the cutting edge. You know, in Texas, we're required to do 10 CME hours. That's continuing medical education hours a year. I do about 150 to 200 a year. I'm always in conferences. You know why? Because I cannot keep up. If I say to you that this is the best way to do something, I would be lying, because I don't know what's happening in China, what's happening in Canada, what's happening in someone else's lab. Someone else could have a better way to do things. So it's not unusual that if If I tell you, if let's say you are my patient and I put you on a treatment plan today, it would not be unusual for me to come back 6 months later and say, you know what, we changed the plan because I have new data, because things have moved along, and I found a better way to do it, because that happens. All right? So if your doctor has not found a better way to do it and has been continuing doing it for a long time, you need to be careful of that, because, you know, I saw a study that was done not too long ago. It said that the fourth leading cause of death in the United States is your healthcare provider. The fourth leading cause of death. You know why? Because we give wrong medication, we make wrong diagnosis, we give too much of some medication, too little, we cause overdose, we do a lot of things. If you look at centurions, those are people who live over 100 years old. The one thing that they have in common, the majority of them say to you, I have never seen a doctor before. Isn't that something? They're 100 years old because they haven't seen a doctor. Because we didn't get a chance to screw them up. Well, before I continue on, let me just finish up my radio show. This is Dr. Vernon Williams. You are listening to Grow Younger, The Truth Shall Set You Free on KTSA 550. The phone number to call is 210-559-5959. My email, vfwillimd@twaamc.com. My book, Grow Young Like Me, Be 29 Again and Again, is available at Barnes & Noble's, at Amazon, all the bookstores. It's also available at www.growyoungeragain.com, growyoungeragain.com. For more information, you can call the Wellness and Aesthetic Medical Center at 210-495-8558, 210-495-8558, and or you can call and catch me on the internet at www.feel29.com, feel29.com.